I'm going to ask those of you that were at the conference to share with the congregation, just stand up where you are and just share with the congregation how you saw God at work. All right, so just be thinking about that yesterday. It was an amazing, amazing experience. So, and I'm also going to thank those of you that were involved in a minute, too. But before we get there, I just want to remind you of this bouquet over here, the red. I'm always confused about what to do. But what you do is when you have a prayer request or something that you're praying about, you take a white flower out of this vase, all right? You take it home, and you pray for that request until God answers it. And some people have kept their flower for 30 years, and you know, when I did this at another church, one lady replaced it after 30 years. She was so glad. And then you put, when your prayer is answered, you put the white flower in the basket, you take a red one, and you put it in the vase, okay? So that's how that works, so don't forget about that. That is going to be perpetually there, and do that. We're looking for lots of red flowers in there. And I now would like to thank those who made the conference yesterday possible from this church. And that's Celeste Misfield did a ton of work. Where are you, Celeste? Stand up. Oh, where are you? Please thank her. Judy. And then the rest of you, Judy McDowell, Robbie Smith, Matt Hall, Sarah, and Veronica's not here. Lion's share of the work here. Thank you so much. And to all of you who did clean up and set up, thank you. West Valley Presbyterian Church really did the bulk of the work for that huge conference yesterday. And for those of you that don't know, we had at least 500 people there. We had walk-ins. We had 90 pastors present. So that's a lot of churches throughout the Bay Area. Really good things happened. And so what I want to do now is just ask those of you that were present yesterday, if you were in the choir, if you're out there and you participated, to just stand up and share how you saw God at work. And Matt is going to run with a microphone, and so is Joe on either side. So maybe just put your hand in the air if you have something to say about how God was at work yesterday. Lorraine.
What struck me was, as my husband and I travel across the country, many times we've seen the Spirit working in various churches. Something we think is new as we cross the country and stop at our children's homes and churches, we find they're doing the same thing. And what struck me yesterday was I thought service worship was original here. But then we found out that 5 speakers from all over, the same thing was going on in their churches. So again, it's just an example of how the Spirit does move in our churches if we just let it happen.
That's right, Lorraine. Yeah, so true. The fact that it was at Saratoga Federated was very providential, because when we went there and talked to Gabe, he says, we just started this two times ago. They'd done a service worship like project with canceling worship on Sunday. We just started this. Of course, we'll host your conference. We love doing this, and we'll give you the facility for free. So, I mean, that was definitely the Lord at work. Someone else, where did you see God at work yesterday?
Hi, I'm Jenny. I thought the conference was just absolutely fabulous. I loved the speaker, Francis Chan, about his sermon about being actionable. So, you know, we come to service, or I've been involved in Bible study for many, many, many years, and, you know, it's great to study, but it's also great to get out and do something in action.
Right.
And also, like, communicate, and, you know, share with the other churches what they're doing in service projects.
That's right. Thank you. Good job. Yes.
I'm coming up back behind you.
Okay.
So really powerful for me was we started our morning with worship, and it was an amazing experience, an amazing worship with such a wide body of believers, and the choir behind you. I was kind of sitting right smack dab in the middle in the front. And so we had the choir and all of this is just such a powerful, powerful worshipful experience. And so the Holy Spirit was so alive in that church. And it was a great, wonderful experience.
Great. Oh, thank you, Julie.
It's just so great to see five different churches united in song and have that choir just sing and resonate. It was beautiful.
I just thought the whole worship service that we did starting out at 9 o'clock was phenomenal. The guest speaker, Francis, was it Chan?
Chan. Yes.
He was, for me, he was just the absolute center of the worship service. His sermon was just right down to the nitty-gritty of it. And he even brought tears to some people's eyes that I watched around.
Yep.
Even some of the choir members were wiping a few tears off.
Yep.
But it was great. And the organization that we added to it in terms of all the literature and the write-ups, they were the work that went into it, I just cannot believe. I think Kim and Veronica must have spent, and then all the people that did the stapling and putting it together, putting it in order. Yep. And the drivers providing transportation around the clock, and the lunches were all excellent, and the timing, the organization. I think it just made our church look great.
Yeah, yeah. Good. All right. Awesome.
It was extremely impressive, and there were sharing of things that were just marvelous things that were shared, and I wish there was a better way to disseminate it. But you know, the love of Christ reaching out from churches into the community was the issue, and many, many different avenues and ways of that. Folks in Chico were extremely impressive, and I think they got West Valley started. But it was just a great time of listening, sharing, learning, getting to rub elbows with folks from many places throughout the state. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Matt.
Okay, we got Todd down here on this side, and then let's do one more.
Hi. So I look at yesterday as we were really planting seeds. We planted seeds among hundreds of people there.
Yep.
And we pray that, and I think we need to continue to pray that God will help those seeds sprout and blossom and to really demonstrate God's love.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I see it too, planting seeds and letting God do the harvest, letting God bring forth the harvest. That's why prayer is so important right now. Do we have one more? Okay, we good? All right, super. Okay, thank you so much for sharing that. I don't want to go on to the next thing without having getting some feedback from all of you where everyone can hear it. And those of you that didn't come, we'll be sharing some more about it, and we'll have some pictures. There were some pictures at the beginning. We'll have a little panel discussion a little later, and then some pictures at the end so that everybody can be a part of this. I'm so glad you're here. Where did everybody else go? Are they still asleep? I think we changed the time, didn't we? And maybe some of them are still sleeping. I'm so glad that you came, though, and I'm so glad to be able to talk to you this morning. I wanted to ask you a question. I'm imagining some of you might know the answer, but see, okay? What is service worship? What is that? Do you know? What about changing the question to when you made those, do you remember making boxes and putting wrapping paper around? Do you remember that? Oh, thank goodness. Okay. So when you did that, what did you put inside those boxes? You put what? That's right. You put stuff in the boxes for other children who didn't have anything, right? Socks and some toys. What? Do you remember some of the things? Yeah. What did you put in? hats. Yes, we had a great knitted hats, and you put them in the box, and then you sent them to some children, right, who lived in other places who didn't have anything. That's, and toothbrushes, of course, of course. And so that's service worship when we decide we're not going to be in this room and we go into other rooms and it, here at the church. Sometimes we go to other places, like sometimes you've gone to sing at a nursing home or something like that. That's service worship. That means that we don't have to worship in this room the same way every time. We can do it differently because Jesus said, whenever you do something for somebody that doesn't have anything, it's just like you're doing it to me. Isn't that cool of God to say that? That's pretty amazing. God made everything. He's so big. And then he says, when you give something to somebody who doesn't have it, it's like doing it to me. That's an amazing God to say that, isn't it? When he's so big and he says, if somebody's poor, that's me when you give it to them. And when you put stuff in a box for a child that doesn't have anything, you're doing it for me. That's me. That child is me. That's what the Bible says. And that's why I'm so grateful to you guys for doing that kind of stuff, because it really makes a difference. And it helps people to know that Jesus loves them. And that's what we're all about, right? So would you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much that we can worship in a lot of ways. And one way is to be kind and generous and giving to those who don't have what we have. Help us to get more generous day after day. And be with us and fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can do that with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll see you later.
Let us pray together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name. You have been our rock who has never failed us. You have done great things for us beyond all measure. We worship you and praise your name, the name of Jesus. We need you, oh, we need you, Lord. We confess our sins, Father, they are many. We have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We forget your mercies in the blindness of our hearts. We follow too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We forget those around us. So often our arms don't reach out to those in need. Our hands don't bring a healing balm to those who are suffering, and our feet don't move in the direction that you want us to go. When will we ever learn? Father, heal us and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Redeemer. We need you, oh, we need you, Lord. We pray for those who are sick and suffering. We pray for Don Eldridge and his family as they care for him. Be their strength. Be their guide. We don't always understand how things are as they are, but we do have the promise that your grace is sufficient in every situation. Bless them, Lord. We need you, oh, we need you, Lord. And now we bask in the afterglow of yesterday's service worship conference. Thank you for the good news that as we leave our comfort zone and reach out to our community that we are not alone, that your Spirit is with us. Move us. Empower us with your Spirit. Let us listen to your voice for what you have in store for us. Never once have we ever walked alone. Never once have you left us on our own. You are God. You are faithful. Thank you, Lord. And now, remembering the voice of your word, we pray together the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our reading of God's Word this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. And I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
Would those who are on the panel please come forward if you're not on your way already. I'm going to turn this around. We have up here those who are very involved in service worship. Many of you were too, but just ask these folks to come up and share with you how they saw God working. But before we get started, if you all could introduce yourself and in just a sentence or two, tell us a little bit about what you do and why you're up here. In two lines, though.
Hi, I probably know less of you than any of these panelists, but my name's Dave, and I work over at KFAX Radio. I'm the Director of Ministry Relations there. And so my job was to help spread the word.
Good morning. I know, I think, all of you. My name is Jim Shunk. My wife and I... My wife and I were blessed to be members of this church and proud members of the church for decades. We live in Chicago now. And I had the good fortune of being involved in the start of service worship.
Jim, can I just ask a question? Why do you live in Chicago?
I'm from
We
shall we come back to that?
Yeah. I have so much to say on that.
Well, I'm Judy McDowell. I think most people know me or have seen me around. I'm a member of Session, and Kim asked me to help out on Service Worship Conference, and I'm really glad she did.
My name is Kevin Oxnum. I'm Nathan's father and Katie's father-in-law. And we learned about service worship from your church, and we've now taken it and adopted it in our home church, which is in Tucson, Arizona.
I'm Robbie Smith, and I've been around for a long time, know all of your faces. Maybe I miss your name now and then, but I've been around for a long time. And my part in the program was to get the community partners to participate and be there so that we would know what agencies need help.
My name is Matt Hall, and I am blessed to be the youth director here. And on the Service Worship Conference, I helped out with marketing and the workshops. And Dan Ewan and Veronica Cruz helped with both of those. And then Saratoga Federated is my home church, so I helped Celeste connect there on the venue.
I'm Celeste, and I've been sick this week, so I'll keep it short. I was in charge of registration, and I kind of moderated all the meetings and kept us kind of going forward.
Celeste did the bulk of the organizing, as you can imagine, so so thank you. It was just such a joy to do the conference yesterday, and I want to ask you, first of all, what I asked the congregation at large before, where did you see God at work yesterday? Or to frame it another way, what part of the conference most inspired you? And so just who would like to speak to that?
One of the things that I really enjoyed seeing and was so happy to see, and to me it was answered prayer. Back in late November, early December, several of us were busily, madly trying to add names to the mailing list. And we were going through online directories of churches within an hour of Cupertino to invite. And so there were a lot of ethnic churches on this list. And I was thinking, I hope they come. I hope they come. Yeah. And they did. They really did. This was not a white-red assembly at all.
No.
There were a lot of Asian churches, and they were first generation. They were speaking Chinese and Korean, and it was a Japanese church, and it was really great. They were anxious to go out into their communities, even though they had, you know, lived here all their lives. And so I thought that was magnificent. I was so pleased.
Yeah, that's good. A good point about that.
I wish you all could have been there yesterday and heard the choir.
Yeah.
I have never felt closer to God. I happen to be fortunate enough to be sitting, you know, like in the second row in the middle. And if God wasn't there in all his glory yesterday, then I'm never going to see God.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I mean, I was in tears. This congregation is so blessed with music and has been for so many years and so many great leaders and participants that I hope not, we're not here now, and I miss that so much. And it's kind of like you have to be away to appreciate something. And you are so blessed with music. So that was incredible. And I wish you all could have been there for that.
Yeah, well put. Well put.
I'm going to jump in and echo that. I was one of the ones in tears, both outdoors when I was still doing registration and inside. And thank you, Nate, for putting together most of the music. Yeah. But I want to back up before the conference and tell you that God has been there. And the music that we've actually sang today, it came to me that never once did we walk alone.
That's right.
And God is able. He will make a way. And he kept doing that. This was Pastor Kim's vision. And then she pulled together the committee to do it. And there were many times we looked at each other and said, what are we doing? You know, can we do this? And once when Francis Chan actually said yes, we went
Eek! We have to up our game, you know, and just time and again with the venue. And it, Matt really wasn't even on the committee, and I think he overheard struggling to find a venue and said, well, let's check with Saratoga Federated. God just kept meeting us, and David came on board with the KFAX and spread the word. People came together this past week and helped do all that assembling of packets and name tags. Just incredible amount of giving here at this church. And God just kept meeting us. And yesterday, it was so powerful. I echo Jim, if, you know, that's kind of what heaven's going to feel like.
Yeah,
that's the spirit. Was just
I totally agree. I got to say, you know, Pastor Kim did not always believe that God was walking with her during that time. And again, I'm convicted of my own weakness to think that, you know, God, you know, constantly, yeah, I always think, well, I'm in this alone. And for any of you going through anything, you are not alone. And I wish I could feel the way I do now during the time of getting ready to it. And that's what I struggle with. God always comes through. God is faithful, you know, and I need to continue to remind myself of that. So Judy would pat my hand and say, it's going to be okay, Kim. I mean, how many times did you do that? So I was freaking out.
I'll jump in there because I think what you just heard, a confession of your leader of her own weakness, is so important as you, not just that you put on display what God has done through your congregation for the last 5 years, but I heard the word earlier, seeds. We planted seeds yesterday. And there is this dynamic tension between the city and the farm. It's there in Scripture. It's there in each one of our lives. And your this seed planting idea, the funny thing about seeds, what does Jesus say about them? They must fall to the ground and die for them to sprout, grow, and bear fruit. Mm. And that's what I was overwhelmed by at the end of the day, that this was really a gathering of farmers from different places, from Chico, from Menlo Park, from, you know, different places who have been trying out different seeds and are getting together to practice, to share best practices. Well, how's the corn growing there when you try this? How's the wheat springing up over there? What fruit are you seeing? But as the leaders stood up and talked about those best practices, what struck me was that the followers who are all there to try to learn, to be better farmers, that we're all also admitting that we're the seeds, God. We're the ones that have to say, God, I do believe, but help my unbelief, because this is killing me. I mean, because this is comfortable. This is what I grew up in the Christian Reformed Church, and it's like, you know, we're second cousins to you all Presbyterians. So we're comfortable with great singing and great, beautiful architecture and the place where we see the city of God and where we gather every week to try to get a glimpse of heaven. And so when God says, but you're not there yet, now I want you to go and spend a Sunday dying to yourself and living for the community that's not yet gathered in. Well, that's hard. And it is a beautiful thing. But I just, I thank you for your, as we confess our own weakness in it, we just got to keep doing that as leaders, because we're all just sheep. and we are all trying to lead our way forward into something brand new. It's not really new, but it's new in American evangelicalism. You know, it's new to say, hey, maybe all of the proskuneo wonderful worship gathered together we have to suspend that for some Sundays to go and die to ourselves and go be seeds in our community.
To tag on to your analogy, yesterday what I saw was a spiritual earthquake. It seemed to just hit, and everybody was involved in this, and what it created was a groundswell, and we saw it just radiating out from that event. And that was, to me, the spiritual thing that happened, was it was a palpable shaking of everybody in that congregation, in that, I'll comment, full church congregation, which we had had prayed for and hoped for, and it came.
Yes, it did. Amen.
I love that term, spiritual earthquake. We're going to have to use that. That's really fantastic. The big thing for me yesterday was, you know, we talk about the body of Christ and being part of the body of Christ, and it was just such a slap in the face to me that we are a much bigger body of Christ than we sometimes think about. We sometimes think about our own church, our home, you know, and here we are from Tucson, from Chicago, reconnecting with you guys here and other churches yesterday. What was it, 50 churches?
90.
90 churches. Mm-hmm. Yesterday we're there. Oh my gosh, you know, we are part of a much larger body of Christ, and we've got to find a way to mobilize this and get it going and such. It is just so inspiring. The one story that stuck with me yesterday and keeps ringing through my head is the analogy of what if a football team called the huddle, the quarterback called the play, and all the players ran over to the bench. It's like, wait a minute, that's not why we're calling a play. We're calling a play to be in the game, to do something, right? And yet he made the analogy that this is what Christians do a lot, is we meet in church and we talk about the play and the plan, and then we go sit down and we don't do it. And this is a way to execute the plan, to make it happen, and we can do that. So I really believe we are on the verge of something really, really significant in Christianity, in California and Arizona and Chicago and in the United States and the world even. Why limit this, you know, where we can really make things happen? So I'm really excited and really energized about getting this going in Tucson. Is going to be our focus, is get this going and get this spread out and get a lot of churches on board with this. I envision the day when nonprofits will be saying, oh, another service worship Sunday, we're going to be overrun again with Christians.
Right, I agree.
Can you just reminded me of something that didn't get mentioned yesterday, but Francis has been a part of that. It's just down the road happening here, Transforming the Bay with Christ. Just been a couple of meetings so far, but Pat Gelsinger, the CEO of VMware, has called together people that he knows. And I compare it to, like, I mean, there's folks who at these really huge churches who kind of sit sort of above the clouds, and they're aware of each other, but they don't all get to talk to each other because they're so busy running their mega churches. And so, or they're authors or they're key business leaders. And so he basically used his influence to bring a lot of those people in the same room and then to say, if this is a movement, not specifically serve Sundays or service worship, but the whole idea of service as evangelism, like if God's going to move in the Bay Area, service is the language that the Bay Area will hear. And therefore, we don't need another crusade. We don't need another, you know, super discipleship program coming from the next greatest church. We need to, all of us together, drop the barriers and begin to serve with and alongside of one another. And I'm hoping that all the key players from this will come. There's a meeting on May 10 for the next Transforming the Bay meeting, and that is trying to actually look at that macro level and say, if God were to do here in San Jose, San Francisco, Oakland, and just all nine counties, what we've seen happen in places like Portland, where the churches banded together to serve their city and saw some huge, remarkable change, then what would that take? And this is a key ingredient of that. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out.
That's good. Doesn't he have a great radio voice? Did you want to say something, Matt? You haven't said anything yet.
Yeah, I guess one of my reflections was when we got Francis, we realized we were in trouble and this was going to be a much larger event than we had planned. And then some cynicism grew in that, and we said, well, how many people are going to come just to hear Francis? And Francis is speaking at like 10 o'clock in the morning, and the conference goes until 4. And after like 11, when Francis is done, there's going to be like 8 of us left there. And what was amazing was after the break, right after Francis spoke, and people came back in, and the church was still full. And then we went to workshops and lunch, and people came back, and the church was still almost full. And for me, that just really spoke to sort of the cynicism that I had built about it.
Right.
And was confirmation that, no, maybe some people came to hear Francis, but what they heard throughout the morning was that this was an opportunity for us to really impact our community. And these people didn't just come out for Francis. They came because they really love their church. And they have a desire to see God move in big ways in their community. And to just see all those churches that just have such a pure heart for discipleship and service and worship was inspiring. And it was encouraging to know we're not alone. We're not alone on this corner. There's so many churches that want to partner with us or want to do similar things to reach their community. And God is a really big God who is working through so many churches that are already experimenting with service and service worship type events. The Holy Spirit is moving right now through 90 churches in the Bay Area.
Yeah. Oh, that's so right on.
In this direction. And so to be at the forefront of this is just a phenomenal blessing that we just get to see how God's going to use service worship in the next decade to come.
Well, that's absolutely right. It's so exciting. You know, it really speaks to the fact that Christianity's not boring. This is exciting. And the excitement in the room was amazing. So when you're in sync with God's plan, there's so much energy and so much wonderful stuff. And, you know, just seeing pastors excited, can you imagine? Was just a blessing to me. And to feel that we had jump-started maybe something for them, where they were receiving and getting excited, you know, because ministry's tough sometimes, a lot of the time. And to feel that people were excited was a real blessing. Did you want to say one more thing?
I have to say it was so gratifying yesterday to see that many churches there. And as Lorraine said, we didn't invent this here. We didn't start this here. It's being done all over the place. We did start a fire here, and it has spread, and it was really gratifying to see how Kevin and the church in Tucson have taken what we have done and made it even better and bigger. I have never been so proud of you all as I was yesterday. We have done this for 5 years. The others, you know, other churches there, yeah, we do this once a year. You know, yeah, we started it a year ago. We've done it a couple times. You've done it faithfully for 5 years. And I look out and I see people like Michelle and John and Steve and Christy and all the people at who've made this possible over the last 5 years. And I beg you, keep it going, okay? Mm-hmm. Be faithful. This is making a difference in our world, and it's spreading. And seeds were planted yesterday, and all your hard work, when it wasn't necessarily fun, and you did the same project a second or third time, yeah. You know, I know it's not easy, but I have never been so proud of this church that we could set an example for others and plant seeds and be good farmers. So thank you for all of your hard work over the years. And no matter what happens over the next couple of years, keep it going and keep it fresh. Change it. Make it better. But you have made a difference in the world. And that's what was so gratifying to me yesterday. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you for that. Jim, those of you that don't know, a pioneer for service worship. And we're so proud of you, Jim, and all that you've done. We're proud of you for pioneering this. We're not proud of you for living in Illinois. But beside that, we really are. So thank you. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for what you did yesterday. And truly, it was you. We stand in awe of what you're able to do when we take a step of faith and trust you for the outcome. Thank you for West Valley Presbyterian Church. And we echo what Jim says about this place and how you have truly filled your saints with the Holy Spirit to reach out. And help us to do that. Help us to follow that charge to be your hands and feet in the years to come. To spread your light, Lord Jesus, and to not just talk about our faith, but to put it into action. Thank you for all who are involved. Thank you for all who participated. And Lord, we trust you now for the future, knowing that you are a God who does exceedingly and abundantly over all that we ask or think. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Thank you. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.